Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello again to the Dark Trio. Yes, it is Elliot, your Tasmanian correspondent. I do realize that a heinous amount of time has elapsed since I last accosted you with my special brand of gibberish. However, I didn't really have anything of great import that I felt was worthy of wasting your time with. Up until now. And I have not so much a question as I have a recommendation. And my recommendation to you all is the fabulous BBC series Inside Number 9. It is truly some of the best horror-adjacent television I have ever seen. It is the work of two brilliant little bastards by the name of Steve Pemberton and Rhys Shearsmith. They form half of the League of Gentlemen, and if you're familiar with that comedy troupe, then you'll have a fairly good idea with what you're in for with Inside Number 9. But it is truly their crowning achievement. That is my recommendation to you. Go placidly amid the noise and look out for one another. Take care, and bye-bye for now.
Thanks for the recommendation, Elliot. It's always great to hear from you. I've never heard of this series, so I will hand this one over to Megan, who seemed very excited to talk about this.
I haven't talked about it on the show before, but I've written about it on Bloody Disgusting. The headline was "The Best Show You're Not Watching." So yeah, I also endorse Elliot's recommendation, and I think like it's probably popular in the UK where it originated. But if you like, and I think that this, I think you would like this show a lot. It's an anthology series, so not every episode is horror, but it's so darkly comedic that even the non-horror episodes veer that way. They had a Halloween episode recently that was very like Ghost Watch. So if you like Ghost Watch, you would like their Halloween episode. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. All right, I'm going to have to add this list.
Yeah, last time I looked it up, it was like on BritBox, which is a add-on channel for Amazon. I'm not sure if that's still the case, but yes.
Yeah, it's still on Amazon. It's also on Apple TV and Vudu, but I'm with John. I've heard of the show, but I have not checked it out. So hopefully I will change that.
I also appreciate hearing Elliot on episode 100. Nice to have you back.
Yeah, Elliot.
Speaking of episode 100, we've come to a consensus about what we will be doing to celebrate episode number 100, and it will officially be a live video podcast.
Dun, dun, dun.
For those of you confused as to why I'm saying that on a recorded episode for episode 100, it's because the decision was made a few days ago. We did not have enough time to get prepared to actually do that, and as this is actually Labor Day when we're recording this, timelines just were not syncing up.
No.
So we will celebrate our 100th episode in a few episodes.
We love you.
Yeah.
We love you.
We know.
It's, and I have time to decorate my closet, I guess, for people to see where I record.
Backdrop. Yeah.
And yeah, so we will get that happening. We're in the crazy time of year for everybody. It's getting into film festival season. I'm getting ready for the 31 Days of Horror. There's a lot going on. So once we get our schedules lined up and once we get the tech side lined up, then more likely than not, it'll be on a Monday.
Yeah.
That we'll do it. Normally these are released on a Wednesday, but we record on Mondays. So you'll have plenty of time. Like, so it won't be like, why? And it'll be recorded. You can watch it later.
It's fine.
I don't even know how to react if like people are like posting comments as we're talking or something. Like, I don't know how to deal with that.
No,
I feel like out of everybody, Zeta's the pro. She got this.
It'll be fine. Yeah, we'll have some, you know, live people watching, and they'll be sending stuff like, whoa, we love you guys. Yeah. And we'll be like talking and having fun.
Or they'll be like, stop talking, Megan.
No, no. They're going to just be so in love with all of us. Like, oh, just
like,
can't all
right, turn off the video. We've had enough.
We've seen their mugs. Put Xena's face front and center. Everybody else, no. Go behind the mask.
Speaking of putting Xena front and center, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast. Everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website Real Queen of Horror and her infinite love for the genre, Xena Dixon. Hey, Xena.
Hello.
And I'm John. Happy 100th episode.
Yay. Centennial.
I never thought we'd make it this far.
Oh, wow.
Wow, John.
Damn, Peggy.
No, that's honest. That's, see, for the 100th episode, it's been a long time since I've been Peggy.
Oh.
It's more that, like, I podcast all the time. Like, I'm always recording, so I'm just used to doing this.
Yeah.
I never anticipate other people wanting to continue doing this thing that I do. So it's more like, wow, you guys are like doing this. This is awesome.
But we're horror right, sisters, right? Now we're sisters for life.
Aww. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So Xena, what's been filling your heart this week?
I checked out Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando this past weekend. So
that
was
a time. Yeah. So if you guys didn't know, Universal Halloween Horror Nights is an annual Halloween-themed event, and they have parks in Orlando, Hollywood, Japan, and Singapore. So obviously I went to the one in Orlando because it's about 2 hours away. And then also after, well, not right after, but the next day I went to the mall. Their malls in Orlando is everything. They have like an indoor mall, and then they have this other mall where there's like literally like 150 stores. I was loving
it. Is it like shopping mall sort of mall or?
No. Sadly, but there's a lot of tourists who cannot drive like me, so I fit right in. So anyway, so I checked out Halloween Horror Nights and I had a really great time. So there are 10 haunted houses, there are 5 scare zones, and there are 2 live shows. Although I missed the shows this year, I keep on hearing how great they are, so I'm a little bit jealous. So instead of me going over all 10 of the houses, which I did like talk about them on the go, on Friday on Instagram and stuff like that. So high five to people who tuned in. I guess I'll start with the first one. So my top 5. The first one is The Weeknd, After Hours Nightmare. So yeah, nice. The singer, The Weeknd, he has like a haunted house. And awesome. I really wasn't too sure what to expect. Guys, by far, that was the best thing I've ever experienced in my life. Okay. What? It felt very psychedelic, very A24. It was like a nightmare, but it was a vibe, and I just wanted to stay there forever. Like,
I believe
forever.
It.
Forever.
Have you seen, there's like a, I think it's a 30-minute short film that's on Amazon Prime by The Weeknd. That it's like, you watch that, you watch his music videos, and you can totally feel that he's a horror fan. I mean, it's heavy prosthetics, there's usually blood, like there's some crazy like aging stuff that happens. So I'm not going to lie, that was like a major thing where I was like, can I somehow crunch numbers and afford to go this year because of that house? So that's exciting.
It's amazing, like seriously, and I have to like check out that short. You said it's on Amazon?
Yeah, I was on Amazon. Okay. I'll look it up and I'll send it.
Okay, for sure. I'm going to check it out. But yeah, I had a really great time. Like, honestly, I think that he needs to be, if not directed or just be in a horror movie already. Please and thank you. Then the next one, our tour guide, well, shout out to him. His name is Chris, by the way. I'm going to touch base on him. But we actually checked out the Halloween house last. And I felt like he kind of like saved like the best for last type of thing. So obviously if you love like the Halloween movies, especially the first one, I feel like you are going to love this. You're going to feel like you're right in Haddonfield. You're going to feel like you're right in Michael's home. I don't want to spoil it, but this like from the start, pure terror. Okay. There's so many Michaels. There's even, spoiler, a room where you are surrounded by a whole bunch of Michaels and you don't know who's going to like reach out. So I love that as well. Then the third one I want to go over, there's this one called Dead Man's Pier, Winter's Wake. So this one takes place in like a New England like fishing village, and there are dead fishermen who want revenge. Okay, and they're just popping up out of everywhere. It kind of has like the Poltergeist and kind of like the Fog type of vibes. Really cool. It's like a kind of seem like there's like a, you know, like ghost story tale going on in there. So that's a lot of fun. So then the next one I have to talk about Spirit of the Coven. Spirits of the Coven, because I love witches, and there are witches in this one who are dressed up as flapper girls, and they just want to lure you in. Yeah, and at first it's like, cool.
That sounds really cute.
Right? They don't seem that bad, but then the deeper you go in, they just start to change, and you just want to leave, and it's very terrifying. And then just the fifth one is, I hate bugs, so I have to mention this one, Bugs Eaten Alive. This one grossed me out so bad. There are bugs everywhere. Not live ones. Thank God. Can you? I would never. But they're not live ones, but they're like everywhere. From ants to roaches to big fat spiders staring at you.
Uh-oh, your worst like nightmare, horde. Literally.
Yeah. Then there are people who are in there. And there's some stuff on their face with holes. I know how much, you know, John
That's
like
a
holes.
John thing.
Yeah.
Don't, I don't even want to hear you tell me that there are people with holes on their face.
It's terrible, but I loved holes. It. It was a great experience. And then I'll just give a bonus as well. There's also like Blumhouse has like a has two houses as well, like Horrors of Blumhouse. Horrors. Like
freaky sorry, and black folk.
You went to the wrong attraction, didn't you, Zena?
She went to the Horrors of Blumhouse, which is also probably a fun time. I don't know.
You went to the Las Vegas one.
But yeah, the Black Phone house is amazing. So if you, even if you haven't seen it, I feel like you would enjoy it. It's very creepy, nice. Very chilling. There's some scenes that you'll remember if you've seen the movie that's there in the house as well. And then also they recreated a Freaky Home as well. So it kind of takes place all over the town, like from the high school to the party when the movie first opens up. It's really cool. I enjoyed that one. And then also just going back to our, well, the tour guide, his name is Chris, you know, huge shout out to him. He's a horror fan as well, guys. He's a fan of Bloody Disgusting. He's awesome. And then also, you know, congratulations to him and his girlfriend because they're expecting a little baby. Isn't that wonderful?
Aww, little baby. Congratulations.
Ah. Okay, yeah, but if you are interested in checking out Halloween Horror Nights, it's open on select nights from now, you know, September 5th. By the time this come out, you know, whatever, until October 31st. So yeah, you should check it out. I highly recommend it, especially if you enjoy going to, you know, haunted theme type of places. It's a good time.
Put me in your pocket for next year. I want to go.
I will. Just come on. Then I was able to check out the movie Margo. Came out 2022. This one will be hitting VOD on Friday the 9th. So a group of college friends rent a smart house for the weekend of partying. Later, they start to realize Margot, the house super advanced AI system, has sinister designs for them. So yeah, clearly you already know it's going to be a terrible time. It's a horror movie. You know, there's a group of young people. They want to party and dance and do whatever. And they're in a secluded, you know, location. And then clearly the house is alive. So it surrounds itself. Well, the story, again, surrounds itself around just these friends. They're pretty much celebrating like their college experience. They've known each other since freshman year. So they decide to pick out this smart house, which seems like a good time. And it's like, you know, voice controlled. You can control things with your eyeball. You know, it's pretty cool. Very welcoming spot. And the house is really nice, you know. But then, yeah, the AI system, I don't know what's going on with her, but it kind of reminded me of, I don't know if you guys used to watch like Disney's movies from the 90s, from the late 90s, early 2000s. There's this one movie called Smart House from 1999. And it's about this family who win a contest. Yeah. This family wins a contest and it's a smart house. It's an AI type of house where the house can do everything. It can make you dinner. It can talk to you. It can clean up. It knows you. It wants to get to know you. So it's kind of similar to Margo, except with Margo, you know, Margo, she's still possessive. Like the woman, I forgot her name. I want to say Flo because she looks like that Flo lady from the commercials, you know?
Yeah, progressive.
They look just alike. Yeah, but yeah, it's kind of like that, except, you know, obviously it's more gorier and demonic and, the house is a murderer and there's blood and goo. So
that's Zeta not really loves Disney. Goo.
I have never once seen a depiction of a smart house that ended well.
You know,
like, smart houses don't exist in movies. If people are just, this is going to work.
Yeah, technology.
Whether it's the future or not, it's just terrible.
But aren't you curious? Like,
no, I don't even have an Amazon Echo. I'm not curious at all.
I'm curious. I feel like, honestly, I would stay at a house like that. I honestly would. I'm a sucker for technology, and that just seemed like a nice, relaxing time. Even though I do watch a lot of horror movies, and I'm thinking, like, oh, hey, there might be something in the basement, like, if, you know, it is in the movie Margo. But you know what? I just want to have a nice, relaxing time. But if you haven't checked it out, or if you're interested in checking it out, again, it comes out on Friday, and it's a really twisted, fun slasher movie. It's very straightforward, and it has, like, a comedic tone to it. There's some stuff where, yeah, I don't know if I should have laughed, but it was funny. So, yeah, that's what I watched.
Is it my turn?
It's our episode 100. It's got to be you, Megan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, I don't know who goes now. We've been messing up the rotation for a while.
I know. I've been messing with it. But we're at 100. We got to go back over it.
Original format here. Okay. So I checked out Barbarian, which is in theaters, at least in the States, on Friday the 9th. I'm going to go as basic as possible, and I'll explain in just a second. So basically, it is Georgina Campbell. She stars as a woman who arrives at her rental home. It's like an Airbnb type situation. She arrives late one night in Detroit to find it double booked. Somebody's already staying there. And against her better judgment, she decides that, okay, I will share the space with you. But there's more to fear with this situation than an unexpected guest. That's all I'm going to say. Plot-wise, I am going to keep this as succinct and vague as possible because I do think that you should just go see it without knowing very much about it. This is going to be hard-pressed. I feel like anything from September on is going to have to be stellar to knock this off of my year-end best list. I love this movie so much. I kind of feel like this could have been called Nope, because the entire movie, I'm like, no, nope, no. Edge of my seat, literally jaw on the floor. And literally, like, this was just kind of a peek behind the curtain situation. This was for a screening, a press screening, especially because I was doing the junket. And those things, you usually have to fill out comment cards to send back to the studios or whatever. And this was, like, I had to actually give verbal feedback on top of that. And the two words that came out of my mouth right away was, holy shit. So, yeah, I guess go.
There's a pull quote for the DVD.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Holy shit. Yeah, I don't know. I do think it's funny that, you know, this writer-director, Zach Cregger, who is better known for comedy, The Whitest Kid You Know, that sketch comedy show. So it's like, I think it's always great when comedians venture into horror because it is very ruthless. If you are curious, I did do an interview with him where he revealed some very surprising extreme horror movies that aren't really spoilers in any way, but he knows his horror, and I think comedy lends well to horror. There's darkly funny moments. There's a whole lot of what the fuck moments. that's really it. I'm just being vague and reactionary because it's like, I do think that this is one that you should just go in blind and let your jaw hit the floor while you're entertained. And I don't know. I did tell Zena this before we started recording that I definitely predict she will love this. I'm not so sure you will love this because there's a mean streak to it. I love it, but I'm very curious to hear both of your takes. So yeah,
I'm really glad that you brought this up though, because I hadn't heard of this until like 3 days ago, and it randomly popped up as like a targeted ad on YouTube or something. And all I saw from the trailer is like, it was basically like watching the Paranormal Activity trailer where it was just audience reactions. And I was kind of like, I haven't heard of this. Why are they showing all these audience reaction things? So I was really curious. And then I saw that you had watched it. I was like, oh, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
double intrigue.
I think they're doing a really good job of trying to preserve the surprises because
this just keeps upping the ante. And like, I think that, again, I'm not going to go into it because I don't even want to touch on, I don't even think I could if I tried, but I don't want to even remotely come close to revealing any surprises. But it's just one of those movies where it's like, this came out of nowhere, it feels like. I feel like this, I'm kind of predicting this to be the sleeper hit of the year for horror. And it's well justified. I think that if you can see it in a crowd of ravenous, like, people hungry for horror, this is definitely going to scratch that itch. It is so vicious and so mean and so unexpected. I loved it. I predict Zeta will love it. Now it's up to you to let me know if this will be Dark Trio approved.
Ooh, oh, that's so much pressure on me to see something in the theaters.
It's no pressure. If it's not, it's not. It's cool. It's still one of my faves. And, you know, like, I think it's good.
At least give me till it's VOD.
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 Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And then I guess I'm keeping up with the vicious horror. I watched Terrifier 2. This did premiere at Fright Fest. It is coming to theaters on October 6th. And then eventually, like after that, like later in the fall, it will be on Screenbox exclusively. This is obviously the sequel to Terrifier. It is, the plot is, after being resurrected by a sinister entity, Art the Clown returns to Miles County, where he targets a teenage girl and her younger brother on Halloween night. So I watched this. It is about 2.5 hours long, which is very long for a slasher, yeah. But it is so ambitious. I'm very intrigued to see how this is received when it hits theaters, because like, I feel like Art the Clown and Terrifier has amassed such a devout following and with such meager beginnings. You know, I think Zena talked about this before, where it's like, it was a short and then it was part of an anthology and then it was this, you know, independent horror movie. And now it's this epic, very ambitious sequel that is hitting theaters before it goes to Screenbox. And yes, it is Bloody Disgusting powered and acquired. That's Screenbox. So I'm going to put that up front. But yeah, I was impressed by how, one, ambitious it is. But it's also like, in story, I think that one of the common complaints with the first one is that it's all exploitation horror, heavy emphasis on the gore, but not much plot. It's like, if you were to take a slasher and you're like, I don't give a crap about the plot, give me the gold gore nuggets, that's Terrifier. This one introduces a story, and it has a really awesome final girl in Sienna, and has a really some creepy stuff, where if you have a fear of clowns, you're going to have a nightmare on your hands with this movie. But yeah, if you're a Terrifier fan, or even if you're not a Terrifier fan, I feel like this could be a pretty good entry point into that, because it is like, you've got the gore, you've got the gnarly as hell kills that you'll never see elsewhere, and then you do have like this kind of ambitious plot going on top of that. So yeah, I thought it was pretty fun.
I can't
wait. I was not expecting you to say that there was a plot.
Yeah, there is a plot.
I watched what you two told me to watch, and I started with 1968's Rosemary's Baby, which was Megan's pick. For a second, I got really confused, and I almost started watching The Omen, and then I was like, this can't be right. That would have messed things up. What?
Didn't you watch The Omen already?
No, I haven't seen the whole thing of The Omen.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen like, I've seen one of the sequels, I think. I haven't seen the original.
Oh, John.
But it's available on Prime. A young couple trying for a baby moves into an aging, ornate apartment building on Central Park West, where they find themselves surrounded by peculiar neighbors. All right, Megan, why this one? Besides the fact that I hadn't seen it.
Okay, obviously, it was because you hadn't seen it. But two, I just think it's so well done from a technical standpoint, from a story standpoint. Mia Farrow is absolutely tremendous as, it's kind of like the originator of the kind of gaslit woman slash pregnancy horror movie that I just felt like this is essential viewing for a horror fan that you needed in your life.
Yeah, this movie's fantastic. It's so much better than I thought it was going to be. Not in a reductive sort of way, but in the sort of way where it's like when you've grown up and like when your formative horror is 80s, 90s, 2000s really horror, and you didn't delve much into 70s and earlier, a lot of it can fall flat.
Yeah.
But it's such a good movie. I would actually, much like Jaws, I would just say this is a good movie.
Yes.
This isn't a good horror movie. This is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Mia Farrow is fantastic. I love John Cassavetes.
What a dick, in pretty that much guy.
And everything I've seen him in. The only part that just really made me cringe is, listen, this movie is 50 years old.
Yeah.
I like to think that I am the only one listening to this podcast who hasn't seen it. Now, saying that, I'm sure there are people listening to this who haven't seen it. So I'm going to try not to do any major spoilers. But I knew what it was about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like going into it, I knew what it was going to be about, which is amazing, too, because I was watching the movie where it's like, there is no indication about what this is about.
Yeah.
This is literally just two people living their lives, and it's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Like, there's some kind of weird stuff going on, but it's not. There's no cutaways, so you know, like, in the second act, they do a reveal of what's going to happen. It's literally, you get to the last 5 minutes of the movie, and they tell you what happened. Like, what the how bold of a move that is. And maybe that also was able to happen before horror really hit mainstream. They could present it as a movie. And maybe they were better off presenting it just as a film that is horror, that is horrifying or horrific or has the satanic twist. But the one part where she wakes up from a hallucination and she's got the scratches on her, and he's like, oh, I didn't want to miss baby night. and he says a line, something along the lines of like, it was kind of hot in like a necrophilia sort of way. And I was like, wait, no.
Yeah,
that's bad phrasing. Saying necrophilia in any way, shape, or form, bad phrasing.
Yeah,
but being like, yeah, like I could kind of get into that. What? No, no.
But it's all the signs that he's bad news, red flag.
Yeah, and it's also not accurate depending on what you see later. But just like the sentence itself. It was just like, oh, it's kind of hot, the whole necrophilia thing. Like, oh!
Yeah.
No, it's not.
He's trying to lighten and distract in that moment. Like, let me throw out a poor tasteless joke here to distract from what happened.
Well, and on top of it, like, she's got fingernail marks on her. So in this context, he was so into the necrophilia thing. He had to scratch up her body, too.
Well, yes. Would it blow your mind to know that this was William Castle that acquired the book rights? He wanted this to be his segue because, you know, he was the king of gimmicks.
Oh.
So he wanted this to be his serious movie. But so he bought the rights to the book to adapt it and make this movie. But then the studios were like, sorry, you can produce it, but we need an up-and-comer director. So he appears.
Well, I'm glad he's still got to be involved.
Yeah, he's a producer, and he did cameo in the movie. He's like in the phone booth, but it's also kind of like it's bittersweet because this movie is a classic, but this wasn't the kind of segue into serious bear that he was hoping for.
Oh, yeah, it's a really, really, really good movie that I would have no problem just like tonight. Just turning on again and just watching again. It's just a good movie.
Yay.
Well done, Megan.
Yay.
And then I followed it up with 2022's Nope, which I rented on VOD.
VOD!
The residents of a lonely gulch in inland California bear witness to an uncanny and chilling discovery. All right, Zena, why this one?
Because...
No,
I'm kidding. Well, because I know that you mentioned that you haven't checked it out, and I don't know, I really enjoy this one, and it's just the type of movie that just keeps you guessing, and there's a lot to unpack from it, so I'm just curious about your thoughts on it.
There's a lot to unpack, and listeners, if you're interested in us doing a deep dive on Nope and releasing that as some sort of like a bonus episode or extra episode for everybody, I'm more than happy to talk about this because I feel like you two can also help me process a lot of what I watched that maybe I just didn't get at all. I'm going to be a little bit all over the board in my description of like my thoughts on this. It's a great movie, but actually a lot like Rosemary's Baby. It's a great movie. Like the subject matter itself, which I'm not going to dive into. It's new enough that you haven't seen it. Or there's... I mean, the trailers gave away at least the main conceit of it, right? Mm-hmm. That it's aliens.
Yeah.
Or some sort of a flying saucer. Like, that was in, like, the trailer. Mm-hmm. Like, take that apart. Like, it's good storytelling. It's good acting. What I've realized about watching... so far, really, any movie that Jordan Peele has been involved with, they are such beautiful movies. Mm-hmm. I was watching it. I don't know if he's got a specific director of photography or cinematographer, whoever that he uses. The blocking, the visuals, the angles, like what's in frame and how it's shot and how it's captured and lighting, it's all so effing good. Like, it's like watching a film class. Like, and like, there's one specific scene that involves a house at night that I love so much.
Same.
About what's happening, but the visuals and the way that you see it, and then like you see it through like a windshield, mm-hmm. and it's kind of rainy, so it's like out of focus, and like I'm trying to almost squint to see what's going on because I want to see more of it. Like the way they play with the visuals and the camera and everything, it's so good. And I love seeing Michael Wincott too.
So good, yeah.
Like he needs to be in more stuff. So the lead, Daniel Kaluuya, like I've seen, I think the first thing I saw him in was Sicario, which is my all-time favorite movie. He is the master of staring. He has a specific look where it's, I was trying to describe or explain this like with my wife, who watched it together. Like, he's got this look where like he's not scared. He's not intimidated, but he's also not trying to be intimidating.
Yeah.
Like, he's just there and, like this unflappable look about him. And his character also within this movie, it largely seems unflappable, where it's like, dude, you are handling this so well.
Yeah.
But it's, there's so much to break apart in this that I don't want to talk about, that if you haven't seen it, it's just like, what? The one thing I will say, I got a little scared because it's like a 2-hour, 15-minute movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Maybe it's I'm a grumpy old man. I watch stuff when my kids go to bed, like stuff like this. And I was like, oh, it's going to be a long time. It sucked me in immediately. Mm-hmm. Like from literally the opening title cards, it's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's this? What? How is this related to what's going on? And like beginning to end. Like, just such an easy watch. So, like, fascinated to see what's going on and everything else. And top to bottom, like, it's so good, but it's so... I don't know that I think it's horror.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It's definitely...
There's certain imagery that I would say absolutely yes, but there's that would
absolutely
venture
some imagery that
spoilers.
Is just haunting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's one scene in particular that I won't talk about because it also gives away a major conceit of the movie where I'm like, just kill me.
It is.
Don't let that happen to me. That's so horrible and simple, but terrifying.
Yeah. It's horror.
Yeah, I guess. Just that alone, I kind of forgot about that scene. I'm like, that's horror.
And there's there's things I would point out, but I cannot because spoilers. Yeah.
Yes, and don't.
I'm not gonna.
I like the fact, again, you know, with me saying how there's so much to unpack for it because the story has so many layers that it's awesome. And like you said, I love that you said that you, when I first heard that it was like 2 hours and some change, I was like, but it like immediately you're in. So the time flies by, you're completely invested. And then something that's so great about it is that this movie has more than one subgenre. And I mean, I feel like there's something for everybody.
I think it's the closest to Spielberg. Like, you know, I think we often kind of attribute things to different directors, like Hitchcockian and Spielbergian, but legit, like, this is really close to capturing that summer blockbuster essence and like adventure of a Spielberg movie, even kind of stylistically. Like, it's so Jordan Peele, but it's close to that Spielberg level.
Mm-hmm. Bonus episode is coming.
I feel it in the air.
Whether people want to do the deep dive or not, I think we have to do the deep dive just for us, even if it never gets released. We just need to talk about this. So yes, I think we can call this one a Dark Trio approved movie.
Yes.
I think we all approve across the board.
Agreed.
Yes, it is not the movie I thought it was going to be, and I'm not upset about that at all. I think that Jordan Peele is kind of just reinventing might not be the right word even. I think he's making the movies he wants to make.
Which is fair.
And they're working. Yeah. And the studio's like, you're making money. Keep doing it.
Yeah. It sounds so simple, but that's exactly what I think that he's doing as well. Just making the movie because he wants to and making the movie that he wants to see type of thing.
Yeah. And they're gorgeous. I love them. I can't say that I necessarily like one more than the next. I like them all for very, very different reasons.
I think they're all different enough that it's hard to compare, right?
Yeah, it's not just like
but we're gonna have
watching
to talk
George
about that,
Lucas
though.
Movies like, or something.
Because I would want to know how you guys would rank it. So you need to start thinking about that. So when we
start revisiting. Yeah. Okay. Got to
And
prepare.
Also, we should have like a, we should put out a list of the movies that's like Dark Trio approved. So I know The Deep House, X.
X.
Oh dang! We need to keep track, and then just keep a running. We need one of those like cute graphics that we can slap on a movie title.
Oh, like Rotten Tomatoes certified or whatever.
Approved.
All right. Before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it?
So this one's not a movie, but I checked out Universal's Halloween Horror Nights, and then movie wise, I checked out Margo. It'll be hitting VOD on Friday the 9th.
I checked out Barbarian. Go see it. It hits theaters on Friday the 9th. And then Terrifier, which hits theaters on October 6th, followed by a Screambox streaming release later in the month or in the fall sometime. Yeah.
And I watched Rosemary's Baby on Prime, and I rented Nope on VOD. All right. Do you two have recommendations for next week?
Yes, I do.
Alrighty then, I'm going to recommend for you to check out Alone With You. Have you seen it?
Alone With You.
On Shudder?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, it is on Shudder.
Perfect.
Have fun.
And Megan?
Okay, this one I'm going to be bold and pick because I won't be here. Ha 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 ha.
Spoilers.
It's one that I really, really love. And you might have a hard time with, but I'm very curious. It's The Innocents on Shudder.
Uh-oh, Xena reacted too. I guess I'm just going to be watching Shudder.
I really, really love it, but I know you to know some of your vulnerable spots, to know you might have some issues. I think it's really elegantly done.
You'll be
all right. I will watch them during the day.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's going on, Megan?
Speaking of movies that you need to catch up on, which I didn't know. I don't know why I thought that you had seen The Omen, but not Rosemary's Baby.
Along with a Dark Trio approved, we need the movies John hasn't seen yet.
John needs his John blind spots that we need to fill. I need to keep track of these better.
So many.
20th Century Studios has called upon the Antichrist once again with the first Omen, a brand new official prequel to their Omen franchise. So there's more incentive for you. Nell Tiger Free. I don't know if either of you have watched M. Night Shyamalan's Servant. He's the executive producer, not necessarily the showrunner on that, but Servant. It's on Apple TV. Really, really good. Anyways, Nell Tiger Free is a main star in that show, and she's been set to star in the upcoming Omen prequel. Legion, Channel Zero, Butcher's Block, and brand new Cherry Flavor director Arkasha Stevenson will be making her feature directorial debut with the first Omen. She will also handle the rewrite of the film alongside writing partner Tim Smith. Smith is set to executive produce with Phantom 4 producing. The original 1976 classic starred Gregory Peck, Lee Remick, and Harvey Stevens, and it followed an American ambassador who believes his five-year-old is the Antichrist. That film spawned three sequels, including 1978's Damien, The Omen 2, 1981's The Final Conflict, and 2006 reboot of the same name. And there was a Damien TV series, too. I am very curious because, I guess, spoiler alert on a really 50-plus-year-old movie at this point, like, they mention the Antichrist's origin in The Omen, and it is very bizarre. Like, Satan had a baby with a jackal. Is that where this is going? I don't know. That's like a throwaway line that has always deeply intrigued me. So I don't know. I'm very curious. But we do know that John needs to watch The Omen.
Yes,
what
does.
Parent hasn't thought their five-year-old was the Antichrist?
Well, do they?
That's not new.
Do they have a tattoo on their back of the head of 666? That's how you know.
Are they not supposed to?
Oh, well, we have some things to discuss.
I got to talk to my wife.
Yeah, you got a lot of discussions on your hand.
Is that why dogs keep prowling around our yards? I thought they were dogs. Are they jackals?
Why,
jackals.
It's all for you, Damien. Yeah. They're jackals. And then, you know, because Stephen King adaptations keep on keeping on, an adaptation of one of the stories featured in Stephen King's recent four novella collection, If It Bleeds, which was released in 2020, the feature film Mr. Harrigan's Phone has received official premiere date from Netflix. It's going to debut on the streaming service on October 5th, 2022, so literally just weeks from now. And in advance of that debut, Netflix shared a first look image gallery, if you want to check it out, on obviously Bloody Disgusting. Stephen King recently tweeted, "I have seen a close to finished cut of Mr. Harrigan's Phone, written and directed by John Lee Hancock, and it's nothing short of brilliant." The upcoming movie comes from American Horror Story creator Ryan Murphy and Blumhouse, with John Lee Hancock writing and directing. As far as the plot, it's when Craig, a young boy living in a small town, that boy will be played by Jane Martell from It and It Chapter 2, he befriends Mr. Harrigan, played by Donald Sutherland. Mr. Harrigan's an older, reclusive billionaire. The two begin to form an unlikely bond over their love of books and reading, but when Mr. Harrigan sadly passes away, Craig discovers that not everything is dead and gone, and strangely finds himself able to communicate with his friend from the grave through his iPhone in this supernatural coming-of-age story that shows that certain connections are never lost. Yeah. How sweet. Yeah, I have a hunch that this will be part of their yet-to-be-announced Halloween lineup. I'm not familiar with the source material, though. I don't know if either of you are.
I think so.
No, not at all. No.
It seems like, well, never mind. I'll keep that to myself. I think so.
Don't keep sharing is caring, Zena.
Well, I was just going to say, like, with Blumhouse, every single year for the last 3-4 years, mm-hmm. like around like Halloween, they'll have like a release. They'll have like some movie releases like around the month of October, like spread out. So I think you're right.
Yeah. I'll be curious. I'll check it out. I like Donald Sutherland, so, you know, I like Stephen King stories. It sounds like it'll be more sweeter than, like, horror, but whatever. Yeah. Speaking of horror, though, like, we always speak about horror, but still. Horror. What could happen when IP enters the public domain? On January 1st of this year, Winnie the Pooh and the other characters from the 100 Acre Wood entered the public domain. And now we have an upcoming indie horror movie, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, set to be a dark retelling of the classic Winnie the Pooh story. That's what happens. This is potentially what could happen when your stuff enters public domain. You could have some very unexpected movies that come from it. In this version of the classic story, Christopher Robin is headed off to college and he has abandoned his old friends, which then leads to the duo embracing their inner monsters. It'll reimagining the beloved characters as murderous slasher maniacs. Reese Frake Waterfield directed the upcoming horror movie, and he said, "Christopher Robin is pulled away from them and he's not given them food. It's made Pooh and Piglet's life quite difficult. Because they've had to fend for themselves so much, they've essentially become feral. So they've gone back to their animal roots. They're no longer tame. They're like a vicious bear and pig who want to go around and try and find prey." Waterfield also noted that while Tigger and Eeyore won't appear in the movie due to copyright issues, the story in his mind is that Pooh and Piglet got so hungry they ate Eeyore somewhere along the way. Yeah. That's that kind of movie. And if you'd like to see the trailer, that's also available online to you.
I just, John, you have to comment because you cannot see his face, but John's he looks completely perplexed right now.
See, this is why, see, we need news like this when we do the video, like live video version, so people can see my reactions to things like this.
So you can see
that. I saw the trailer and I was like, all right.
That's a movie.
Here we go. This is a movie. What I was thinking as you were saying this is I'm mildly concerned that this box office take is going to be bigger than Barbarians because of how bananas it is, because it's showing up everywhere. I've seen so many different sites commenting on the existence of this movie, but I also think there's a really strong chance this will just be Snakes on a Plane too,
where, it's like,
where everyone's talking about it and nobody actually goes to see it.
Yeah. I suspect that's probably, I would be surprised if they, you know, everybody flocked to wherever this debuts on VOD. I imagine it's a VOD release, but yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know,
it's
fine.
It's a curiosity, yeah.
Yeah, and it is. And it's like, sure, go for it. Why not? Like, I, again, I'm not offended by any movies being made outside of like, well, there's a couple of movies I'm slightly offended were made for different reasons. But stuff like this, like, all right, sure, why not? Is it, I mean, fan fiction that exists on Tumblr is 10 times worse than anything you're ever going to see in a horror movie or in the theaters. Sure, why not? And it might be a good time. I think the trailer might indicate, well, the I think you're going to know what you're in for just by watching the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't imagine you're going to suddenly be blown out of your seats one way or the other, or let down.
You know, I'm really excited about this because
I'm not gonna see Barbarians, but
I feel like it sounds like it's going to be just ridiculous fun, you know. And so I feel like sometimes we need that, you know. Sure, I know a lot of people's like, my childhood, I mean, you'll still have your childhood, relax, you know. It just seems like it's going to be a good time. And in my opinion, I think that they should do more of it. I think that the next one should be maybe not a cartoon, but why don't we, you know, kind of do what Bring It On did? And how about we have like a horror version of She's All That? I'd watch that. Let her go all carry on everybody.
I think it kind of is a horror movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what's like, plot-wise, it kind of is a horror movie.
It is,
so you could.
But, I mean, she needs to get revenge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There should be a body count. Blood and gore, eyeballs popping out. She's ripping it out.
She's painting pictures with other people's blood.
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, listeners, your turn. Mad Atta said we aren't on video right now. Confused how John thinks he's qualified to discuss horror when it seems like the only horror movies he's seen are Jaws and Hell House LLC. Hint, I don't. You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number is also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
We have another packed week. So first, let me just say, Bloody Disgusting TV is available. Check it out. Or Screenbox. Check it out. So the first one we have coming out on Wednesday the 7th, we have the series 101 Scariest Horror Movie Moments of All Time. It'll be hitting Shudder. Again, it'll be premiering on Wednesday, and there's going to be, I'll get to that afterwards. But anyway, almost fell off track. So this is exactly what it sounds like. There's going to be basically a celebration of horror history's most frightening moments, and there's new episodes to follow every single week until they're leading up to the number one pick. So that's exciting. Then we have Thursday, the 8th, Saloon. That one will also be on Shudder. Shot down after fleeing a coup and extracting a drug lord, a group of mercenaries must lie low at a remote holiday camp, stash their stolen haul, and repair their plane to escape Senegal. That one sounds interesting. Then we have Friday, the 9th. We have a lot of stuff coming out. First, Barbarian, hitting theaters. Megan approved. Megan said, check it out. So check it out. Then we also have The Rise of the Synth. This one will be available on Screambox. It's a documentary where basically you'll be traveling in time where they'll traveling in time, like in different universes, creating like the sounds and the synth wave music. Again, that one will be on Screenbox. And then we also have House of Darkness. This one will be in limited theaters, driving home to her secluded estate after meeting at a local bar. A player out to score thinks his beautiful, mysterious date will be another casual hookup. While getting acquainted, their flirtation turns playful, sexy, and sinister.
Wait, who's in this one?
Justin Long.
He's got a double feature then.
Isn't he in Barbarian?
Yeah.
Double feature. Okay, Justin, we see you.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him in a horror movie since Tusk.
And now two on Friday.
Yeah. So yeah, hoping to get lucky, his luck may just have run out. Then Margot, this one will be available on VOD. And I really like this one. It's Xena approved.
Yeah.
Then we have on Monday the 12th, we have Extraordinary Tales. This one will be available on Shudder. So this one isn't new, but this one is really awesome. It's an animated anthology of 5 tales adapted from Edgar Allan Poe's stories. So you should check it out. And yeah, guys, live your best lives.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy. Don't forget to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod, or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.